On paper, Jamaica is an independent nation that has charted its own course for more than 60 years. Its parliament makes its laws, its cabinet runs its government, its courts interpret its constitution. Yet at the top of that constitutional order, one figure still stands who has never lived on the island and never faced a Jamaican ballot. King Charles III remains Jamaica's head of state, represented by a governor general whose authority flows from a crown thousands of miles away. For many Jamaicans, this arrangement once felt like a distant technicality, a leftover line in a legal document inherited from empire. In the 21st century, it has become a live question of dignity, memory, and power. To remove a monarch woven into the very text of the Constitution is not as simple as tearing out a page. It demands a careful rewriting of the social contract itself. This is the story of how Jamaica is trying to do exactly that. Chapter 1. From Independence to Entrenchment. In the mid-20th century, as the British Empire loosened its grip on former colonies, Jamaica crafted a new constitutional future. Negotiators from the island sat down with imperial officials to design a system that would allow self-government while preserving certain familiar structures. When independence arrived in 1962, the new constitution declared Jamaica a sovereign state. It also confirmed that the British monarch would remain the country's head of state, represented locally by a governor general chosen on the advice of Jamaican leaders, but appointed in the monarch's name. For ordinary people, that settlement had mixed meanings. In daily life, power appeared to sit with Jamaican voices they could recognize. They listened to local politicians debate in parliament, saw Jamaican prime ministers sworn in, and watched domestic institutions handle education, policing, and health. The king or queen appeared most often as a portrait on a wall, as a name in a formal oath, or as a reference in the preamble of a statute. The governor general came into view during ceremonial occasions, granting royal assent to laws or presiding at national events, but did not involve himself in party politics. Beneath those visible rituals, however, the written constitution placed the monarch at the apex of the state. The armed forces were organized in the monarch's name. Executive authority was described as resting in the crown, even though it was exercised by ministers responsible to parliament. Courts issued orders in the king's name. The document also set out how these arrangements could be changed. Some provisions were ordinary. A simple majority in both houses of parliament could amend them. Others were described as entrenched. These dealt with the most sensitive aspects of the constitutional order, including the role of the head of state. They could be altered only with a higher level of consent. Entrenchment created an important safeguard. It meant that no single government, acting on a narrow or temporary majority, could rewrite the foundations of the state. To change those clauses, both the House of Representatives and the Senate would have to approve the bill by a two-thirds majority. After that, the people themselves would be asked to decide in a referendum. A new republic could therefore not be born quietly in the corridors of power. It would need support that crossed party lines and reached beyond the political class. In the years after independence, Republican ideas circulated but remained largely theoretical. Jamaica's leaders dealt with pressing questions of development, economic strategy, and social policy. The symbolic presence of a monarch in London did not immediately top the list of public priorities. Some argued that the arrangement was stable and inexpensive. The Governor General, a Jamaican national, performed the functions of a head of state without the need to build a new office or hold separate elections. For many citizens, the question of who formally signed their laws was less urgent than jobs, schooling, or security. Still, the issue never fully disappeared. Across the Caribbean, countries that had taken similar constitutional routes began to reconsider. Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, and Dominica all moved from monarchy to republic within a decade and a half of independence, each in its own way. Their examples showed that change was possible, even if it required careful navigation. Inside Jamaica, commissions and committees periodically reviewed the constitution. They asked whether the island should retain the monarch, whether the final court of appeal should remain the London-based judicial committee of the Privy Council, and how the system could better reflect national values. Reports were written and shelved. Campaigns waxed and waned. the legal threshold for change remained high, and partisan politics often made broad consensus difficult to reach. The 21st century brought new pressures. The global conversation on decolonization sharpened. The memory of slavery and plantation rule, always present, gained renewed visibility as activists called for reparations and demanded a fuller reckoning with history. Visits by members of the royal family attracted not only ceremony, but also protest. Demonstrators held signs linking the monarchy to the profits drawn from enslaved labor and land expropriation. Voices asked why the head of state in a majority Black Caribbean nation should be a distant descendant of those who once presided over an empire built on racial oppression. When Queen Elizabeth II died in 2022 and Charles ascended the throne, constitutional questions intensified. Around the Commonwealth, commentators asked whether a new reign might be the moment for countries to reconsider their ties. In several Caribbean states, officials signaled that their long-term goal was to remove the British monarch as head of state and establish their own republics. Jamaica was among those often mentioned. Polls and commentary suggested that many citizens did not feel a strong personal connection to the new king. The arrangement felt increasingly out of step with how Jamaicans saw themselves as a people. A neighboring island provided a striking example. In 2021, Barbados completed its transition from constitutional monarchy to republic. It elected a president as head of state and removed the queen from that role while remaining in the Commonwealth. The change was accompanied by powerful public ceremonies and a renewed focus on national icons and narratives. Across the region, observers noted that the sky had not fallen. Barbados continued to function as before, but with a head of state drawn from its own citizens. For many Jamaicans, this sharpened the question. If Barbados could do it, what exactly was holding Jamaica back? The answer lay both in law and in politics. Legally, Jamaica's entrenched provisions set a high bar for reform. Politically, any proposal to replace the monarch would have to navigate competing visions of what a Jamaican republic should look like. Some favored a purely ceremonial president, selected by parliament. Others wanted a directly elected figure who could claim a personal mandate from the people. Still others worried that changing the head of state without altering deeper economic structures would be largely symbolic. They argued that a truly decolonized state would need to address questions of wealth, land, and global power, not just the name of the person who cut the ribbon on Independence Day. By the early 2020s, one thing had become clear. If Jamaica was to move beyond debate and symbolism into real constitutional transformation, it would need an organized process. It would need a forum where legal experts, political actors, and citizens could map a path from a monarchy rooted in a 1962 settlement to a republic designed for the 21st century. The stage was set for a new chapter in the island's constitutional story. Chapter 2, The Republic Bill and the Road to a Referendum. In 2023, the Jamaican government established a constitutional reform committee with a direct and demanding mandate. The committee brought together representatives from government, opposition, legal circles, and civil society. Its task was to review the existing constitution, consider reforms, and advise on the steps required to move from a monarchy to a republic. The creation of this body signaled that Republican talk was no longer confined to speeches and editorials. It had entered the formal machinery of constitutional change. The committee's work stretched across months. Members examined earlier reports, studied other countries' experiences, and listened to submissions from interest groups and ordinary citizens. They had to balance legal precision with political realism. On one side lay the text of the Constitution, with its entrenched clauses and carefully defined amendment procedures. On the other stood public expectations shaped by history, identity, and contemporary concerns. The question was not only whether to remove the monarch, but how to design what would replace that office. When the committee released its report in 2024, it set out a clear direction. The document recommended that Jamaica remove the monarch as head of state and strip the crown of its remaining legislative and executive roles. In place of the monarch and the governor general, the committee proposed a Jamaican president as head of state. This figure would perform largely ceremonial functions, such as giving assent to laws and representing the country on formal occasions. Some limited executive powers would also be vested in the president, but the day-to-day administration of government would remain firmly in the hands of the prime minister and cabinet. Crucially, the committee rejected the idea of a directly elected president. Members expressed concern that introducing such an office might destabilize the parliamentary system by creating competing centers of legitimacy. Instead, they suggested that the president should be chosen indirectly through a process that would require cooperation between government and opposition. The goal was to find a model that combined national symbolism with political balance, while avoiding the risks of personalizing power in a new way. The report also underlined the entrenched nature of the relevant constitutional provisions. To change the head of state, Parliament would first have to pass an amendment bill with a two-thirds majority in both houses. Only then could the question be put to the people in a referendum. Without that popular vote, no amount of parliamentary agreement would be sufficient to remove the monarch. This structure meant that any reform effort would have to be both cross-partisan and publicly persuasive. It could not rely on a single-party majority. In December 2024, the government took the next step. The Minister of Legal and Constitutional Affairs introduced the Constitution Amendment Republic Act 2024 in the House of Representatives. This bill translated the committee's recommendations into detailed legal language. It proposed removing references to the monarch and the governor general from multiple parts of the Constitution and inserting provisions creating the office of president. It also outlined how that president would be selected and what powers the role would hold. The bill marked the first time in Jamaica's history that a comprehensive legislative proposal to abolish the monarchy had been placed before Parliament. The introduction of the bill was described by officials as a historic moment. The minister emphasized that the legislation was not simply a technical exercise, but a step toward completing the journey begun at independence. The prime minister reiterated his government's commitment to seeing Jamaica become a republic and framed the move as part of a broader project asserting full sovereignty and reshaping institutions inherited from colonial rule. Yet the path ahead was far from straightforward. The bill was referred to a joint select committee for detailed examination. Members from government and opposition scrutinized its clauses, heard submissions, and debated its implications. Questions arose about the timing of the referendum, the exact procedure for choosing the president, and the relationship between constitutional reform and other pressing issues. Civil society groups called for wide public education so that voters would understand not only what they were being asked to approve, but also what would remain unchanged. One of the most sensitive debates concerned the method of selecting the president. Critics of the proposed indirect model argued that allowing political leaders to choose the head of state could weaken the sense of national ownership over the office. They contended that a figure who symbolized the entire nation should have a more direct connection to the electorate. Supporters of the committee's recommendation countered that an indirect system would reduce the risk of presidential elections becoming polarizing contests, and that the president's largely ceremonial role did not require a separate electoral mandate. Another set of concerns centered on the broader landscape of decolonization. Some activists pointed out that the same constitution that retained the British monarch also kept the London-based Judicial Committee of the Privy Council as Jamaica's final court of appeal. They argued that a serious republican project should include adopting the Caribbean Court of Justice as the final appellate body and addressing other institutional links to the former imperial center. Others raised the issue of reparations for slavery and colonialism, insisting that symbolic changes must sit alongside material justice. The timetable added further complexity. Government statements indicated a desire to hold the referendum by around 2025, aligning the process with broader political cycles. Analysts noted that approaching elections, parliamentary scheduling, and public attention could all affect the pace of reform. Some warned that if consensus faltered, the bill could stall in committee or fail to achieve the required majorities. others expressed confidence that, once placed before the people, the question of removing the monarch would command broad support, though they also acknowledged that voter turnout and campaign messaging would be crucial. Throughout these debates, the core stakes remained constant. The Republic Bill asked Jamaicans to consider not only who their head of state should be, but how they wished to exercise popular sovereignty. Was it enough to shift from a distant monarch to a domestically selected president, or did true republicanism require deeper changes in how power and wealth were distributed? Would constitutional reform strengthen democratic participation, or remain largely a legal adjustment, visible mainly in textbooks and official ceremonies? By the middle of 2025, as committee deliberations and public discussions continued, Jamaica stood at an inflection point. The legal pathway to a republic was clearer than it had ever been. The political and societal journey, however, was still unfolding. The outcome would depend on whether enough Jamaicans, across party lines and social groups, were ready to endorse a new chapter in their constitutional story when they finally entered the voting booth. Chapter 3, Caribbean Ripples and an Unfinished Story. Jamaica's Republican debate does not take place in isolation. Across the Caribbean, countries with histories of British rule have been revisiting their constitutional ties to the crown. One prominent recent example is Barbados. After years of discussion and consultation, that island removed the British monarch as head of state in 2021 and installed a president. The government emphasized continuity in governance, but the shift carried powerful symbolic weight. The moment when the royal standard came down and the presidential flag rose was widely seen as a definitive statement of post-colonial maturity. Other states in the region have moved more gradually, but in the same direction. In Belize, authorities decided to replace the image of the British monarch on banknotes with portraits of national figures who played central roles in the struggle for independence. This change, though focused on currency design, signaled an intention to foreground local heroes and reduce the visual presence of the crown in everyday life. Discussions about deeper constitutional reform, including the possibility of becoming a republic, continue there as well. In the Bahamas, leaders have spoken publicly about the need for citizens to decide through a referendum whether to retain the monarchy. The choice has been framed as part of a larger conversation on identity, sovereignty, and the legacy of colonial rule. Grenada has taken a further symbolic step by moving to remove references to the monarch from official oaths of allegiance, with both government and opposition backing the change as an affirmation that loyalty should run to the nation rather than to a distant sovereign. Viewed together, these developments suggest a regional pattern. The formal powers of the monarch in Caribbean constitutional monarchies are limited, yet the symbolism remains potent. For many citizens, the presence of a foreign head of state raises questions about whose story is at the center of national life. Republicanism becomes a way to align constitutional language and institutions with a sense of self that has long outgrown imperial structures. In Jamaica, this regional context intersects with a distinct domestic conversation about justice and history. Campaigns for reparations point to the profits extracted during centuries of slavery and colonial exploitation. Advocates argue that acknowledging and repairing that harm is a necessary part of any comprehensive decolonization project. Petitions to British authorities, debates in Parliament, and public education efforts highlight the legal and moral questions around historical wrongs. In this environment, the presence of the British monarch as head of state takes on an added resonance. It is not only a constitutional curiosity, but a symbol intertwined with unresolved historical grievances. At the same time, regional leaders have emphasized that becoming a republic need not mean leaving the Commonwealth. Jamaica can, in principle, remove the monarch as head of state while remaining in the Association of Independent States that cooperates on issues ranging from education to climate resilience. In this model, republican status is not a withdrawal from international partnerships, but a recalibration of internal constitutional form. It allows countries to maintain external ties while asserting that the highest office in the land belongs to one of their own citizens. Looking ahead, several scenarios are possible for Jamaica. If Parliament ultimately passes the Republic Bill with the required majorities and voters approve the changes in a referendum, the country will begin life as a republic with a ceremonial president. Official symbols will change. Oaths will invoke the republic rather than the monarch. School textbooks will be updated to explain the new constitutional order. Over time, citizens may come to see the presence of a Jamaican president as an ordinary part of civic life, just as they have adapted to earlier changes in institutions and law. If, however, the process stalls, the monarchy will remain in place. That outcome would not erase the debates that have already occurred. The very act of publicly examining the Constitution, weighing the meaning of entrenched clauses, and discussing the island's place in the Commonwealth has already deepened public understanding of how the state is organized. Whether or not the formal head of state changes, Jamaicans have engaged more actively with the question of what sovereignty means in practice. In either scenario, the conversation about decolonization and justice is unlikely to end with a single vote. Constitutional texts can be amended in a moment, but the legacies of slavery, economic dependency, and cultural marginalization are longer and more complex. Republicanism may be one step in a wider process that includes demands for reparations, shifts in foreign policy, reforms in education, and new economic strategies. For many in the region, the goal is not only to change who signs the laws, but to reshape the conditions under which citizens live and work. As of late 2025, Jamaica stands between the legal structures of the past and the constitutional possibilities of the future. The bill to remove the monarch has been introduced. The requirements for parliamentary and popular approval are clear. Public debate is ongoing, influenced by regional trends and informed by a growing body of analysis and commentary. The final decision will rest with the people when the time for a referendum arrives. When Jamaicans step into voting booths to mark their choice, they will carry with them more than a question about titles and offices. They will be weighing how they want their state to tell its own story, whose faces and names should embody the nation, and how a constitution drafted in the shadow of empire can be reshaped for a generation that demands full ownership of its political destiny. Whatever the outcome, the process itself marks a significant chapter in the island's long journey from colonial rule toward a more fully realized self-determination.